movie critics are calling the most amazing film of the year is now the year's most collectible video.
What a rush.
Stargate. Buy your copy today for $19.98 or less from Live Entertainment.
This week in your parents' basement, we are using an interdimensional gate to travel to a distant galaxy and to blow stuff up. From 1995, we're playing Stargate, developed by Probe Entertainment and Tantalus for the Genesis and Super Nintendo. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the soldier whose gun never runs out of ammo. It's Todd Brisket.
Hey, no. It's not Door to Heaven. It's Stargate.
Oh.
And our other co-host, he was surely transported into another dimension of fun with this week's game. It's Huell Hauser.
Freeze, old man.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes, and when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ybbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, if you want to support the show, you can find our Amazon click-through link on the YPB homepage, ybbpodcast.com. The homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. You can get a Jack O'Neill t-shirt on the site for $13 plus shipping.
Mm.
Speaking of, that is the star of this week's game, which is Stargate. Released in April 1995, this game came out 6 months after the movie hit theaters, but at least that's in the general time frame of the film hitting the video rental stores, unlike some past ones we've covered. This is your typical side-scrolling platform game, except it has some neat digitized graphics, and you can shoot buggos, blow some of them up real good. I nominated this game for coverage because Stargate, the movie, came out about 25 years ago. Huell, what did you think of this game?
Well, I don't think I said this on air, but I had not seen Stargate the film. So this is,
oh, really?
this is my, or the TV series, which I know is very popular among dumb nerds.
Mm.
So this is my first.
Hardcore Hardwicks love the Stargate.
The Hardwicks love the Stargate.
Yeah, so, I'm sure there's no overlap with our audience there.
No, not at all. So this is my first taste of the Stargate universe, is this video game.
Universe.
And I'm kind of surprised that you have not seen the movie, because it feels like a movie that one Huell would have seen.
A mid-90s Dorkfest is something.
Dorkfest with Kurt Russell.
I should have seen.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It is surprising to me and many, I'm sure. Because I loved all those, like, Independence Days and, like, dumb action movies from the 90s with aliens and whatnot. So I expected this to be awful, this game, because it is a licensed game from the mid-90s. It's surprisingly not terrible. It's pretty well done. It's got some great graphics, some great animation, which is weird to say animation for a side-scrolling 16-bit game, but it is, like you said, it was like, what'd you call it, rendered?
I call it digitized.
Digitized graphics.
Digitized.
Yeah. It's like that. It's not quite the Mortal Kombat style of like the pixelated.
Well, it's like a cartoonified.
It's almost like a cel-shaded or motion captured of sprites.
It feels like they're going for like the 16-bit version of that.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got like a pretty nifty little style to it.
At least the main like people, all the bugs are just sprite buggos, but that's fine. But yeah, like Kurt Russell himself, Jack O'Neill, is very well animated. The other humans are pretty well animated. I don't think do we see James Spader in motion, or is he just kind of standing there?
He's always just standing there.
He's just standing there.
Yeah.
So he's just an image, but
yeah. As I mentioned after we finished recording last week, James Spader in a rare, he's not playing the heavy. He's like a pure good guy in the movie and in the game.
Definitely. He's your nerd friend who comes through the teleportation Stargate with you. It's not a teleporter, is it? I guess it is.
It is.
Yeah.
Not to spoil the first...
Should we get into the
movie?
I don't know if you guys have seen the movie.
I have seen this movie. And you know, it's not great. You know, it's exactly what you line up for, which is a mid-90s a pseudo alien shoot 'em up.
It was a movie some mystery. Could go and see.
Yeah. It's got some hieroglyphics to ponder over. They have to solve the mystery of the hieroglyphics to open the portal.
The Stargate, if you will.
The Stargate. Oh, sorry. Not door to heaven. No, no. Stargate. That's what the hieroglyphics say. So yeah, James Spader and his role in the movie is the nerdy friend. He's not an enlisted man.
You know he's a nerd because he wears glasses.
You know he is. He's just an expert that was brought in to solve a puzzle in 2 weeks that they couldn't figure out in 3 months.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he's like a renegade scientist guy.
Oh. He's the Jeff Goldblum of to Independence Day.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do the analogy.
That's a good analogy there.
Yeah.
He is the Jeff Goldblum of Independence Day fame.
To Stargate,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Throwing some colons in there, we got ourselves an SAT answer. I couldn't quite get it out correctly.
Colons. Need some more colons in there.
Colons.
Yeah.
And you got Kurt Russell, who's your action man in this one. He's,
of course.
He's the straight-laced, as far as I can tell. It's been a while since I saw this movie.
As far as you can tell?
I mean, as far as I can recall. Sorry.
There you go.
Sorry. It's been a year or two since I rewatched this movie, so I'm trying to remember back. Maybe I should have rewatched it this week, but I was thinking, you know.
Yeah, there was times I could have easily watched this, and it didn't happen. Oh, well.
Kurt Russell is just your military man. Something happened, like his family was killed by a bomb or something, and he's
an Egyptian.
He's retired from the army, but they bring him back for one last mission, bring him back out of retirement.
Yeah, he's at first you think he's going to be like the like a bad guy at the end. I don't know. He kind of seems like he's going to be like a heavy, like.
Well, he's the straight laced, follow the rule military man where his finish the mission. Like his mission is to go in and kill these people and get out. and that goes against James Spader's let's help these people more than just shooting them.
Yeah. Well,
what an idiot.
But I thought, you know, that he was going to actually do like some bad stuff, like actually set off the bomb and like kill some civilians, that kind of thing. Like he was that kind of dedicated soldier. But no, he's just like, you know, at the end, he and Spader see eye to eye is what I'm saying. Spoiler, but, you know, this movie's old. You should have seen it by now. Sorry, cool. Or not, you know. It's really.
I'm worried about the listeners. Yes. It's not just me. I care about the listener.
Here's the cool thing, the cool aspect of this movie that I like. You know, you got your usual. Hey, what if ancient Egyptians, the pyramids were built by aliens, man? But they kind of twist it a little bit, where the ancient Egyptians, they did build all that stuff, but also. There was an alien that opened a portal and took some of them as slaves, and now they're building pyramids on another world. And you have to go save the ancient Egyptians that are now modern day Egyptians on that planet.
So I was trying to follow what the hell was going on based on the two pages of story in the manual. So the Egyptians were not aliens.
No, they're just
they were actual people. Egyptians.
They're just dudes.
So
they're
they
just dudes, man, chilling, building pyramids.
They took them in like the BC times back to this other planet, and I guess
they did.
Now they have like generations of Egyptians on this other planet.
That's correct.
Or are these the same Egyptians they somehow kept alive for?
No. It's a new human tree.
So they had to have intercourse and create
child Egyptians.
That's the implication here.
That's something that Roger Ebert kind of pokes holes at, where it's like...
He didn't like that the Egyptians had sex?
No, they cannot procreate.
No.
Roger Ebert.
It was...
No.
It was more the fact that you have these aliens capable of crossing the galaxy using these stargates, yet somehow they use it for to collect slave labor in that. It seems odd that they have access to the Stargate, but not to, like, robots.
There's something about them needing the Egyptians to build these pyramid machines to keep Ra alive and give him immortal power. Something about that.
Here's what I found from the manual.
Mm-hmm.
He, meaning Ra, needs a constant supply of quartz to power the machinery which gives him eternal life. To ensure this supply, he has subjugated an entire race to his will. Thus indentured, these people struggle in the quartz mines under the watchful eyes of the Horus guards.
Yes.
So he enslaved them to become, like, mining slaves.
Yes.
For quartz.
Yes. But again, it's like, he has a spaceship, but, you know, they don't have, like, a backhoe in this.
Well, does he have a spaceship?
They have, like, a shovel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because how did the Stargate get onto Earth? If they need the Stargate to get to Earth.
I don't think they ever explained that. It just
makes sense to me.
There, I guess.
He does have a spaceship because not to spoil this for you again,
just go ahead.
But the movie ends, I believe, by they teleport a bomb onto his spaceship. Like the bomb that they bring
over.
Yeah,
that's correct. Right.
Yeah, that's the end of the
Kurt
game,
Russell's
too.
Bomb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they blow his ship up real good.
And, I know it's the 90s, but it's not the bomb. It's an actual bomb.
Yes.
It's not like a cool spaceship. Okay.
No, no.
Got
it's,
it.
It is an atomic bomb. So, yeah, I think it's implied
Hey, man,
that...
we don't got no Geneva Convention with space aliens.
I think
that
it
ends
might be
in the atmosphere.
I think it might be implied that, you know, way back in the BCs, the ship, like, does a flyby and plops down that Stargate.
Mm-hmm. Let's fly.
But I guess the Egyptians that stay on Earth manage to rebel, and they bury the Stargate underground, kind of. So that Ra can't use it to get back to Earth.
Okay.
But he's still, you know, floating out there. Like,
so he got enough people, and he's like, I don't need to go back. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's also you find out. Well, I believe the show expands on the lore and the canon here, and they you know, they can use it to go to all different sorts of worlds. So,
yeah, yeah. They just turn the dial a little bit and zip on over to another planet.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was his idea, that he has this one main planet that he's orbiting, but he can pop to, you know, the dozens that he seeded at any time to get himself some more slaves. So, that is...
Are there ever other aliens in these
There is.
I mean, on the other planet, there's other beasts and stuff.
Yes.
Like, they don't have horses, they have space yaks or something.
Ooh. Yeah. Tom-tom. I mean, the thing with Stargate, the movie that Roger Ebert also gets at, is that it doesn't really have much of a sense of wonder. Whereas I believe the TV show is more, does a better job at saying, hey, this is kind of cool that you can go across the galaxy and there's all different sorts of creatures and aliens and that kind of stuff. They expand the lore of the universe. So... but I have not ever seen.
You know, I've seen a few episodes of the first season. I did watch the movie for the first time in a while, a year or two ago, and I started watching the TV show just to see what was going on with that thing. And it is, I mean, it's a struggle to watch that show in these we're living in the golden age of television. It's tough to watch a show like that I would have been obsessed with had I seen it when it was on the first time.
Mm-hmm.
In modern times, you got your Breaking Bads and everything. You don't have time for Stargate. But here's a fun fact. When you think of Stargate, the first season of the show was on Showtime, I believe, and it had nudity in it.
Ooh.
Full frontal?
Full frontal nudity.
Mm.
Goodness.
That's shocking.
Well, so
the show was on Showtime? I thought it was on, like, TNT or something.
No, the first season. First season is, like, Showtime or Cinemax, one of those. And then
is this SG-1 we're talking about?
Yes. TNT or USA or whoever bought it and kept it for the future seasons.
It was one of those shows that kind of hopped around the dial. Like, I always considered it equivalent to, like, your Xena, Warrior Princess, and Hercules. Where
it definitely seems like that, yeah.
Made for syndication. Although,
yeah, I think Xena and Hercules were less, like, serial than this one. Like, this one, I think, had a pretty, like, you know, more of an A to Z story. Whereas, you know, you can just pop in on Hercules and see what baddie of the week he's going up against. Mm-hmm.
What cool CG monster is he fighting?
Yeah, yeah. It kind of also reminds me of, like, I think Deep Space Nine was, like, the same era. Although people love that show. Some people love that show.
That's a great show.
Yeah, I always got, like, a similar vibe that it's like one of those kind of shows where it's got a good connected story. But anyways, so the game, we haven't discussed the game that much, which is fine. Like, Huel, I think I'm mostly with you. It's a fine platformer. It is pretty tough. Like, I was struggling with the first stage, as I often do.
I got super lost for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you just have to follow the instructions. This is a game where you have to pay attention to what you're doing.
Oh, because I did.
You find James. So this is a game where it is a platformer shooter-em.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot'em, mm-hmm. Shoot'em,
shoot'em, shoot around,
shoot'em,
shoot 'em up.
It's a walk'em shoot,
a walky shoot, yeah. Where you're not just going left to right and getting to the end. This is one where you have to go inside caves and go inside buildings and find a certain number of items before the door opens, and it's kind of a maze at times. But for the most part, what I've found is that it does hold together fairly linearly as long as you go inside every door you see. Which is a problem. You have to go inside every door you see.
Yeah, as long as you do everything.
As long as you make your, you know, follow the maze rules. Maze rules, fellas. Take that left-hand turn every way, or take that right-hand turn every way, so you cover the whole building and get all the items you're supposed to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you find an old man in the beginning of each level that tells you what you need to do. So I get that part.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I didn't understand. I had to go find the boxes. I just got lost in the caves and gave up because I didn't care.
Well, yeah, and frustratingly, like, this is a game that should have a map, and it doesn't.
The map is rare in this era of games.
He's a soldier man. He should have a map.
Sure. I feel it's a SNES game.
Like, Super Metroid had a map. Like, I feel like it's not like, it's not that dynamite of a feature.
Well, yeah, I mean, an A-plus series is going to have a map, but this is Stargate based off of the Kurt Russell movie. Like, they're not going to throw a map into this game.
Yeah, that's
probably
true.
Barely got it out the door.
Yeah, people are not buying this one based on the reviews. They're buying this based on, oh, little Timmy, we went to the movie theater, and he seemed to like that movie, so I'll get this for him for Christmas.
Yeah. Right. But I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It is tough because, so you have grenades, they're impossible to hit anything with them.
Yeah, like, you have to be standing still to use it is how it felt to me. You can't just run and throw it.
They're
not
impossible to, like, I found them one of the easier things to use. I found it impossible to hit anything with the machine gun because everything was below me. I had to crouch and shoot. I was just chucking grenades constantly.
Oh, really?
See, that was an easier weapon to use.
I get the hang of the machine gun eventually. Like, this game has a weird, it's not super weird, but I think you have to hit down once to crouch, and then you can shoot.
And then you're stuck. Then you're stuck crouching. Yeah.
That's Whereas most games, it's just you hold down and
and
shoot, and then once you release, you stand back up.
But the very first enemy you come across is one of the lower scarab looking beetle things. Well, it's giant, but it's like,
yeah.
You don't hit it just shooting. You have to crouch and hit it.
You have to crouch.
Like, right off the bat, you're confused.
Yeah.
The issue is, and to crouch, I might have missed it, but you have to stand still and push down so that there's not enough time because those scarabs are so fast and speedy
those
that they just run right into you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't crouch before they're on top of you.
And, like, you're trying to get used to the controls. Like, you've never played this game before, and all of a sudden this bug is running at you, and I'm just panicking. I tried to like jump and shoot down. Like, yeah, I was just like.
Real reversal of a game we've been talking about the past few days. Again, Into That Breach.
Medieval? Oh, Into the Breach. It's true.
These buggos are tossed right into your drink.
If Jack O'Neill was Jack O'Neill, if he had a drink, there'd be buggos all up in it.
All in it.
I mean, he is in the desert. He might need one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's never out there drinking water.
What an idiot.
Yeah, man, it's the desert.
They should have really put that in the game. Would have been much more
just
realistic.
Just have a cutscene of Jack O'Neill drinking a cup of water.
I'm just sitting there.
Like, hey, man, this is the desert. Let's have some water.
You gotta hydrate, dude. The sun is brutal.
Yeah, bro.
So, yeah, another thing, something we have not encountered in quite a few weeks, goddamn bats.
Mm.
But in this case, they're flying bug things.
They're flying bug buggies. But here's my...
He sucked.
I had this in my notes here.
Please.
I have a feeling... Those bugs are pretty bad, but they don't feel like the bats of this game. I think those beetles are the bats, because the beetles are coming at you at an angle. You cannot...
Blow my mind.
Hit them in time. And they hurt you bad. But the buggos just like give you little stings, but they don't knock you around. And you just hold down the machine gun.
I mean, the bats we encounter in other games, they don't hurt you. It's just that they constantly chip away at you and you can't hit them. And it's horrible. The concept of bats isn't they kill you. The concept of bats is they annoy you.
Yeah.
As a vocab word in YPV lore.
Okay.
I mean, can I take both?
Shut you down.
I feel like they do both in most of the games.
No, but I mean, Todd's saying that the scarabs are going to come and like take a lot of damage out. But
because they're coming in at an angle that is
right,
you just can't get to it.
But bats will eventually kill you because you can't kill them.
I will say I think the
silent killer.
All these bats and buggos are bigger issues the deeper you get into the game because it's less forgiving. It's less forgiving with like ledge size and that kind of thing. And I did find so I also got lost like immediately playing this game because I didn't realize you can go in these caves at first. So I went in like the second cave, which has nothing inside of it, and I had to backtrack to that first cave to get them supplies.
Yeah, there's caves that don't have any purpose.
Well, mm-hmm. They got items in there, some health refills, and you can upgrade your guns with add-ons that are inside those other caves.
Yeah, you can refill the health you lost getting to the bottom of that cave.
Yeah,
basically.
So, but yeah, you know, this is not like an awful game. It's not.
It is not. I think for me, the worst part about this game is the controls, which it's very. Bad platforming controls where everything kind of slides around or doesn't slide. And you're trying to jump onto a ledge like five times before you can actually grab it because you don't grab exactly where the pixel edge of the ledge is. You have to grab like a few pixels in. So it's just awkward platforming. It felt like as an analogy game out there for people that have probably played. It's like a slightly worse Super Star Wars. This is what this game felt like.
Mm. Yeah,
it's weird. Yeah. I inexplicably kept thinking this was like a better Home Improvement.
Well, that is true. That is also true.
Almost anything.
No game should have to be compared to Home Improvement.
but so just to touch on where is it now? Stargate, the video game, received middling reviews around the time of its release, kind of like the movie. However, the movie led to multiple TV series sequels because the concept was kind of cool. And then that led to an online first-person shooter, Stargate Resistance, released in 2010. The developer, Cheyenne Mountain Entertainment, went bankrupt, though, and a planned MMORPG was never finished as a result. So that's kind of where it is now.
Yeah, I remember reading a lot of news about that MMORPG back in the day, a decade ago. And, you know, it would be a great... Stargate itself would be a great setting for a massively multiplayer game. You can go to different worlds and different items and enemies everywhere. It's a fun little concept. But yeah, it was fun watching that company not deliver anything and slowly get shut down. People losing jobs and game getting canceled, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also apparently like there was a lot of bad stuff going on because like the company ended up like in the CEO got sued and that kind of stuff. It wasn't just like the normal, oh, we ran out of money. Like there was apparently some financial malfeasance alleged.
A real your guy, Kurt Schilling situation.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Steve's favorite baseball player and human.
His favorite baseball player and politician and businessman.
Yeah.
Business CEO man.
I know. Unfortunately, the Phillies passed on him as their manager. But
oh, what a shame.
I suppose he's still eligible to be the Red Sox pitching coach. So
perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, and so the two other the developers for this Probe, we have played their games before. They were just an Acclaim Entertainment subsidiary. Tantalus Media is an Australian developer. So, you know, this was looking at their developer page. This was the first game they did, which for the Super Nintendo. And I feel like this is a pretty decent debut.
It's a good debut. But when you look down the list of games they've made since then, it's a lot of licensed garbage.
Yeah, it's licensed stuff and it's ports. So, like, typically from a better version to a not so good version. So, like the Saturn version of Wipeout, which I believe started on the PlayStation. And South Park Rally, which I feel like one of us played before, but I can't remember who.
I brought it up as one of my disappointing games of
the
Dreamcast era.
Yeah. It was one of our emails, I believe.
Yes. And something called Monster Truck Madness, which unfortunately is from 2003, so we can't play it. But, oh, and Mary-Kate and Ashley's Winner's Circle. That sounds dynamite.
Hmm. Is that a horsey race game?
No. You are caring for horses. You're not racing. So, that's totally different. Anyways, so that's kind of where these two companies stand. It looks like they are still doing stuff. So,
great.
I don't know. Apparently, they were City Skylines is a game that people like. Is it not?
People do like that game. It's like SimCity, but cool, dude. Mm-hmm. Little indie darling SimCity.
Well, they are still doing ports, apparently, because they did the port for that one from PC to the other system. So, they did the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch port. So, they are still around and still oddly doing the same thing. So, good on them, I guess. Glad they have not changed in 24 years. We should move along here to Most Best Game of All Time, Todd, if you have one.
Oh, sure. Oh, well, I think we liked this game. Okay, you know, for what it is, it's okay. But I could not find a reason why this game is the most best of all time. I couldn't find a single 5-star review that wasn't just like, thanks for the delivery. It came on time. I could not find a single review besides one of those. So I did just pull up one reason why Stargate the movie is the most best movie of all time. And this review is titled "Undoubtedly the Best History Science Entertainment." And this is written by somebody named Reputation and Reputationism in August of 2014. And they wrote,
One of the best Egyptology questions about aliens can be explained in this masterpiece movie. A true believer would love the movie. I was stunned by the idea of humans to step into the unknown world and interact like aliens themselves. The things which you see in the movie could explain the ancient technology discussion going on around the world. Our ancients did see something up in the sky, which was not really birds. It's matter of theory, which explains how pyramids were not built by man, but by an extraterrestrial force. Also explains one of the basic forms of revolution of slaves can be conducted even on other planets, by making other beings realize how precious is freedom and tranquility. 5 stars!
Wow!
Ooh.
Did not realize how much was truly in this movie. Definitely have to watch it now.
Yeah.
Learned so much.
Well, Roland Emmerich knew what he was talking about. He did his research.
Humanity. Yeah.
Well. I have a 1 star. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a 1 star Yelp review. It is for Stargate Diner. This one is from Sean P. Decide to come by with my niece and girlfriend for late night milkshakes. Let's say from here on out, I'll be going anywhere but Stargate. When I called in, the hostess was rude and seemed annoyed. I was met with the same feeling when we arrived. The hostess seemed annoyed that we didn't want to sit and just wanted milkshakes to go. We were handed menu anyway, which didn't even have milkshakes on them. The workers were rude and dirty. I felt like I was in the drug rehab. Not to mention, the milkshakes were plain and watery and overpriced. $5 to $6 a piece. Springfield Diner is leaps and bounds better. 1 star.
Hmm.
So, I also like there's a review here from an Amanda G. Just got takeout and they didn't include pickles or coleslaw with my or my husband's food. Come on. Ugh. 1 star.
Gotta have those pickles. Give it in that slaw. No slaw, no stars.
It did seem drastic to me. And also, she has reviewed this place 3 times. So it went from 4 stars to 2 stars to 1 star. So, you know, I feel like if I had a 2-star experience there, I just would not go back.
Especially if it already went from 3 to 2, I'm not risking that third appearance.
Yeah.
It's only one direction that's going in.
Mm-hmm. There's also, today they refused service to a vet and his service dog. I used to go to the diner often, but never again.
Horrible. They might as well have just taken a dump on the flag.
I do wonder what's going through employees' heads when I read things like that. And it's like, really? Just, you don't see the downside here by refusing service?
Is that even true? I've never seen a person in my life care that there's a service dog. Like, nobody cares if you have a service dog.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what they're for.
Yeah. But, well, you mentioned the manual a little bit earlier. Did you get a chance to evaluate it?
I did. I read the things that are in this manual. It is in full color, so that's a plus. It's got some nice pictures from the movie. It's a few movie pictures. Runs down the story. It's actually 3 pages of story, but it's very large font, so I'm not sure how to evaluate that. Yeah, so it talks about the whole background, finding the gate, jump through the gate, bringing a bomb with you, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about the weapons. There's different modes. You got the wide fire. You got the rapid fire. You got an ammo boost. It boosts your strength. Sorry, talks about throwing grenades. Talks about picking up alien grenades, which is fun. Apparently, there's a part where you can use a glider. I did not get to that, but that sounds fun. Goes to the other pickups. Goes through some menu or other level descriptions. Goes through a lot of level descriptions. Then it runs down to different characters. You got your Kurt Russells. You got your James Spader, Daniel Jackson. Talks about Sha'uri and Skara.
Mm-hmm.
your friends from ancient Egypt times. Well, I guess they're not ancient, but they're modern Egypt.
They're modern.
They're ancient.
They're modern other Egypt times.
descendants. And then in the scan that I found, the notes section has different passwords in it, so that's always fun when whoever owned this copies their notes onto the internets.
About those passwords, this password system in this game uses the hieroglyphs.
Yes, the hieroglyphics. So they had, they had to draw these, these notes in a very intricate detail.
If you were a kid and playing this game and you had to make your own, write down your own passwords, we don't live in modern times where you can pull out your smartphone and snap a shot of those hieroglyphics.
They had
to draw those things out.
It's bad. And then I'll send you guys a screenshot of this. But they kind of went. There's a lot of weird grammar mistakes. So I don't know if this was like translated from something, maybe Egyptian, but maybe the hieroglyphs had to be translated. But text-wise, there's a few weird passages. But overall, I think they did a pretty good job here. So I guess I'll have to go 3.5 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Wow.
It didn't blow me away, but I think they went a little above and beyond.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
I mean, they had like the movie as source material too, so a lot of it came from that.
A little better than I would have expected for a licensed game like this.
Like I said, a lot of pictures for the movie, so it's fun. Mm-hmm. Screenshots, I guess you'd call them.
So yeah, I will say, as opposed to a lot of these licensed games we play, this one, you know, it does seem to stick to the movie at least, not even a little bit, like pretty good, like. I don't know. It's not like you're collecting mallets to repair your ship or something stupid like that.
If only.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I feel like Back to the Future, I feel like, is the worst example of that, where it just has a bunch of stuff that has nothing to do with the game, with the movie that you do in the game. But now this one is, you know, you do like Kurt Russell does. You shoot a lot of things. So.
Yeah, a lot of shooting. A lot of Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a ranking system, and it is called the Herzog Hierarchy. And this week, Stargate is checking in at Herzog Vier. Herzog 4.
Ah, okay.
But, you know, this game, you know, I've said it's probably an average platformer. But, you know, that makes me not want to play it as much nowadays. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's low on my priority list. Like, you know, I played this game for about an hour this week, but after about 10 minutes, I was like, oh, this is rough. So, you know, you're really not missing much with this. It's
basically rough difficulty-wise or just, like, enjoyment?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. You know what though? It's not even like I didn't die a ton in this game. Because you do have a pretty decent life meter, but it's just like a lot of wandering around, not sure what to do, which to me is worse. So, Todd, did you get a chance to rate this game?
Sure. The DuckTales scale has two primary factors. Primary factor number one is nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I have for this game? Primary factor number two is replayability. Would I replay it in these troubling times we live in? these modern times. Nostalgia. Mm-hmm. No nostalgia for this game. I actually never knew this game existed before Steve put it on the calendar here. I didn't know there was a game from the movie. Mm-hmm. I did see the movie when I was a kid, and it's a movie. But not too much nostalgia for me with the franchise. Replayability, I agree with exactly what Steve said. This is a game where, you're going to get a little frustrated after stage 2 or 3 where you would just feel like playing a different, better platformer than this one. I don't think I'm ever going to play this one again. Mm-hmm. So those two primary factors being factored in, I will put Stargate on the SNES, as they say in the UK. I'll give it a point. Let's see. Rounding it out. Let me see. Scientific notation times 10 to the 10th and it's coming in at a 0.09 DuckTales.
No.
Ooh.
Wasn't sure.
You were in the ballpark, Huel.
A 0.14.
Mm-hmm. So, Todd, speaking of, you know, knowing this game's existence, it will probably shock you to learn that this was a Nintendo Power cover.
Oh, I did read that. It must have been when I was not subscribed.
You know what? I think it's mostly because April is not exactly known as a hot video game month. So you have to pick something. In 1995, just in general, did not seem like a great year for the old Nintendo Power covers. Because we also have Weapon Lord, which is a...
Weapon Lord?
Yeah, it is a weapon-based fighting game. It's kind of like the predecessor of your Soul Calibur. I've heard some people like it, but I've also heard it's ridiculously hard. And everything else is sequels and spin-offs. And also the Virtual Boy. Like, that got the cover.
That probably, dominated the times.
And Donkey Kong Land, which is not Donkey Kong Country. Donkey Kong Land is like a Game Boy platformer with Donkey Kongs. NBA Jam Tournament Edition and Mortal Kombat 3. So,
That's a bad run of covers.
Yeah, it's kind of not so great. Especially the other years sandwiching it are much better. So, I don't know. I don't have anything else to add about the old Stargates here. How about you, Todd?
Yeah, I missed mentioning this on my comparison to Super Star Wars. This game also has Mode 7 flying levels where you're flying one of those alien spaceships
that's
around.
Glider,
shooting, yeah, shooting that glider around, shooting other spaceships. So that's another thing locking it in with the Super Star Wars feel.
Oh.
And one more thing I wanted to do is I found a few tidbits of trivia from IMDb. Just wanted to read a couple of them. All right. The first one is James Spader admitted that he did the film for the money as he found the script to be awful. He said, quote, "Acting for me is a passion, but it's also a job, and I've always approached it as such. I have a certain manual laborist view of acting. There's no shame in taking a film because you need some effing money," end quote. Whoa. Whoa, James, man.
Whoa, jeez. Wow. Just Stargate guy.
This is a family-friendly show here.
All right, another tidbit. This is funny man French Stewart's film debut.
Oh!
He played one of the soldiers.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the last tidbit I have here is this is a film included on Roger Ebert's most hated list.
Somewhat alluded to in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, I did. The review for this is not as funny as like some of his all-time burns. Like North. Like, the North review is just incredible. Yeah,
Is that the Elijah Wood vehicle?
Yeah, yes. And Jason Alexander.
Yeah, for a solid paragraph, he just goes on about how much he hates the film. Like, he goes, like, "I hated this movie. I hated every single aspect of it."
Jesus.
And also Deuce Bigalow, predictably, he did not care for. He was like, "This movie isn't scraping the bottom of the barrel. It isn't the bottom of the barrel. It shouldn't even be mentioned in the same sentence as barrels." Like, he savaged that one as well. Like, a
huge slam on former guest Barrel.
Well, I think he was praising Barrels, though, in the fact that he doesn't
that
think
that they're better than Deuce Bigalow.
Yes. Should not even be mentioned with Deuce. So, but yeah, there are various collections of Roger Ebert's one star reviews. They are worth reading because they are pretty funny. Anyways, Huel, was there anything else you want to add?
I did pop on a video of a playthrough of the game just to kind of check out the other parts that I did not want to play. And I don't know if you guys saw the final boss fight, but much like the Parasite Eve herself, Ra goes full frontal nude.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a part where it's like a two-stage boss fight where you keep throwing grenades or shooting them.
You until blow all that loin cloth right off of him.
All his clothes disappear, and suddenly he's like this mummy thing, and you then have to fight him.
Is he a mummy that's like fully wrapped up in bandages? No, he's a mummy fully wrapped in bandages, except
for his groin. He looks like a person with like reverse chaps. Yeah.
Their first full body chaps.
Reverse chaps. No, he's got like a robe on, but then like you shoot him and blow him up enough that I guess all his clothes explode, and then you're fighting nude Ra. And I don't know the purpose of that. Does that reflect from the movie? Is that what happens?
No.
I mean, it is Jay Davidson, famous full frontal nude actor.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
He doesn't go full frontal nude.
He had to reprise his famed role in The Crying Game for Stargate, the family-friendly sci-fi romp.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. I just thought that was an odd choice.
Yeah.
Check out the video, guys. Skip to the end. That's it.
Well, on that note, we should probably move along here to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any emails?
I'll save my time for an ask this week. Somebody needs help.
Well, all right then. Huel, how about you?
Yeah, I got an email from a writer, and it says, "Dear YPB, I thoroughly enjoyed your coverage of Medieval last week. I know the spoop times are over, but I really appreciate the character of Sir Dan as a representative of bone health. His skeleton laid dormant for decades, yet once he was reanimated, he still had the strength to battle all those baddies. It's no doubt because of a diet rich in dairy, providing him with the calcium necessary to grow strong bones. I wrote in to ask you, the professionals, what are some other great skelly bones in video games?"
Oh.
And that is from Teddy Cashman, chairman of the National Dairy County. Council. Council.
County.
The chairman of the National Dairy Council. It's a copy-paste error, I believe. Okay, yes.
Well, yeah, I hope he wouldn't get his
own
title
job
wrong.
Title.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens, you know, long day in the fields.
Milking them cows.
Yeah. You gotta be careful with the pink cows, the ones that give you the strawberry milk, too. They're especially ornery.
So what are some other great skelly bones in a video game?
Huh.
Great skelly bones? I don't know. They're all generally just nothings.
Mm-hmm. Have a notable.
Notable? Here's one. Here's one I enjoy. And I love the sound he makes when you step on him. His name is Dry Bones from the Super Mario series.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Makes that xylophone sound when you jump on him.
That is very nice. That is fun.
Mm. You know, I was trying to find the name for my skelly bones, but I just thought of the first skelly bones I ever saw, which were those ones in Zelda that would just like wander around the labyrinth.
Stealthos.
Oh boy. Had that one right at the tip of your tongue there.
They have a name, Steve.
Well, I always liked those ones because they were very easy to kill. So
were they?
Yeah.
You had to knock their head off and kill their head.
That's probably like the later games. I'm talking about like Zelda 1.
Okay.
Like they just walked around and you just had to like hit them with your sword a couple times and they died.
The Stalfos, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure the other one, even though I've oddly never played it is, isn't there like a noticeable Skellybones in Undertale?
There is, yeah. I haven't played it either, but he is one of the characters that people love on that indie darling.
World famous indie darling, Skellybones man.
Yes.
Another big one that people love, and I don't think it's going to make our list, but people love it. I haven't played it, but Manny Calavera from Grim Fandango of LucasArts right. Adventure fame.
Big, very popular game.
Mm. A couple others mentioned here is Grim Fandango.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one I just mentioned.
Sure is.
Ah, shoot. Sorry.
I literally just said it.
I was too busy loading this list to listen. The other ones are Mr. Bones, Nier, or Nier.
I like this one I just found. Huel, did you answer yet?
Oh, no. I apparently don't need to answer. It's fine.
Okay, yeah. So the
Steve,
one I
found... Steve can just list off every one that ever existed.
The one I found, which is pretty cool and interesting to me, is in Mutant League Football and Mutant League Hockey, a player called Bones Jackson.
Right.
Oh, great pun.
Take off of Bo Jackson, mm-hmm. the multi-sportsman.
Wonderful pun.
Yeah, I remember him from that animated show. He was fun. Mm-hmm.
Bones Jackson.
Huel, did you have an answer?
Most of mine were said, but I would like to note Scorpion is technically a Skelly Bones.
Ah, he is, yeah.
Once he takes that mask off, he's a skull. He's just a skull.
He's mortal. Toasty, too. He's on
Mortal
fire.
Combats.
You know, on another inferior podcast, they did their Mount Rushmore of fighting game characters this week.
Get the F out of here.
I know. And they did not have a Mortal Kombat character between the 12. They had 12 different ones between.
That's very weird.
Yeah. So
not a single combatman?
No.
Combatsman
no.
or combatswoman?
A lot of Street Fighters. A little bit of Tekken.
Some Smash.
Yep. Nick Weiger mentioned Jigglypuff.
That not say that name on this podcast. I don't mean Jigglypuff.
Well, of all the characters, he picked that one, which is probably more noticeable for another series of games, but what are you going to do?
I would just exclude Smash altogether. I just feel like that doesn't count.
Well, they do have certain characters that aren't they kind of introduced for Smash? I don't know. No, they don't. Never mind. I'm thinking of Game & Watch, but he's still a separate game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe the meme.
Listen, yeah, Smash is fun, but I almost feel like it's in a different category than like a fighting game.
It's not a fighting game. It's a Smash 'em up.
Yeah, it is a Nintendo game. Like, they are their own separate stellar category. But, yeah, so we should move along. I'm sorry I brought us to a halt with that. I received an
email. Let that be a lesson, bringing up that other podcast.
Yes. Although this was the first episode I actually liked. So, because they did Eternal Champions and they had a developer from the game on, which made it interesting. So, anyways, here's the email I got. Hey guys, that emailer last week, man, what a sass mouth on that biddy. Sounds like someone needs to get back into the kitchen. And that person is the patriarchy. Anyway, I was wondering, if you could make a game based on any Kurt Russell movie, which one would you choose and why? Best wishes, Goldie Hawn.
Huh.
So, asking not about her husband, because they never got married, but about her partner.
Her life partner. Her
life.
Any of their life partners are just like roommates.
Yes.
Lifed partner.
There is a very easy and obvious answer.
There is for me as well.
I mean, there's one for me, but it has games created for it already.
Yeah, I'm trying to think
that's not the one I was thinking of then.
Steve, do you want to say yours then?
You go first.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
How about that? Oh. My thing does have games created for it. I bet there's games out there and board games and sequels and prequels and all that. The Thing, 1982's John Carpenter's The Thing.
There is one, I think, for like the Xbox era. There was like a thing game that people freaked out about, like PS2 era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the concept of the movie and the setting and the plotting and all that, I mean, make for a great mix combo of detective skills and action.
Mm. Yes.
Because you're trying to figure out who is the alien.
The Thing is a 2002 third-person shooter survival horror video game.
Whoa.
And it does have 95% like this video game.
So yeah, I remember people loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does look pretty neat. It like a little I don't know, like a Resident Evil kind of game. It's a third person shooter.
Yeah, Resident Evil-ish. Like a Dead Space.
Mm-hmm. Huel, what was your pick here?
So the first one that pops to mind whenever I think of Kurt Russell is Big Trouble in Little China.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could probably make a game out of that.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be fun.
You know, I was almost there with you, but I picked a different 1980s Kurt Russell vehicle, which is Escape from New York.
Right. That's another answer for sure.
Yeah, but I feel like you can't go wrong with either one. Big Trouble in Little China if you want more of a fun feel. Mm-hmm. And Escape from New York, like that would just be a hell of an open world game. Just like going through the ruins.
Right.
As portrayed in that movie, like, you know, King of New York, his realm, fun times.
I mean, both John Carpenter vehicles as well.
Mm-hmm.
He loved himself some Kurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel like Kurt Russell did just a lot of solid flicks.
He did a lot.
He is a man who directed well.
He is a person that has been in movies.
Yes. All right. Well, Todd, you said you had an ask for us?
Sure. Somebody needs our help this week, so let us ask the Sweet Boys. Alrighty, send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and we will help you out and keep you anonymous for your own safety. And this one, short and sweet one this week, I think we can help them out. The subject of their ask is Germgina a better name than Gwyneth for a girl?
What?
Sorry. They wrote it out. It's actually Germgina and Gwyneth. They spelled it out.
Gwyneth.
Germgina is a combination of Germaine and Regina, the parents' names. And Gwyneth is the name of my great-grandmother. And that's okay.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Sounds like one of our emailers.
I mean, I've got to pass on Germgina just because of the possibilities there. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Gwyneth, but of the two, I'm going to have to go with Gwyneth.
Why wouldn't you want a child named Germgina?
I don't
know. What's
wrong
with that? Yeah.
It sounds like grow up to be a nice, healthy lady.
They'll have a great time in middle school.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Gwyneth sounds like one of those old school, like ye old London times names.
Yeah, Gwyneth is way better because Gwyneth just becomes like Quinn. So that's a perfectly normal name. Like she can forge a normal life for herself.
Yeah, Quinn is a popular name, just a shortened one. Nowadays there's a bunch of Quins in my kids' classes.
Yeah, exactly. Like
that could work.
You know, it'll take her a little while in school to just be like, you know, her third or fourth year in, she'll know to just go to the teacher. immediately and go, hey, my name's Quinn. It's not Quinneth. But, you know. Yeah, that's way better than the other one. Was there anything, were you going to weigh in more on that one, Todd?
No. what if you switch up instead of Jermaine and Regina calling him Jerangina, why don't you call him Remain?
Okay. Like the lettuce.
Like the lettuce, yeah. People love Remain lettuce.
People love it.
That is a
better than iceberg. Hey,
full disclosure, let me peel back this curtain. I had a romaine salad for dinner today. Oh boy.
Remain.
I tell you what, I enjoyed that thing.
Wow. It's whatever's easier to yell, that's what you name your kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Romaine. I mean, I like Quinneth better, but I like that better than the other option there. So, you know, I feel like they have at least two good options. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we finish up for the night here?
Yes. As the great actor man Kurt Russell said in the movie, give my regards to King Tut, a-hole.
Oh, my.
See, Huel, doesn't this make you want to watch it?
I'm going to have to fire this up.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say before we signed off here?
Congratulations. You have successfully placed the bomb on Ra's ship. While he was destroyed while trying to escape.
Oh. Yeah, that's a nice...
Very, very poochy message.
Yeah. Poochy ship was destroyed.
While trying to escape.
Yeah. All right, well, here's a snifferoo of next week's game.
Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Establish a recon post downstairs. Code Red, repeat. We are at Code Red. Recon plan, Charlie. Execute. Move, 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 move! It's a
big one.
Walt Disney Pictures presents...
Star Command, come in. Do you read me?
The story of two toys. Oh,
there seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere.
Hello? All right. And then it is.
Cray.
The toys. Cray. The toys story.
Story of toys.
Mm.
Yes.
Why are we doing this again?
There is an anniversary and the guest was.
Oh, your buddy wanted to. Talk story. He wanted to talk toy.
He mentioned it as a game he wanted to cover. And I looked at the calendar, like, and it is like one of the anniversaries. I think of Toy Story 2. But we're not going to do separate shows on Toy Story 1, and Toy Story 2.
So
I figured we can ram them together.
Sure.
So.
Cram them and slam them.
Damn, that's actually tonight it was steak and sweet potato. But all right, sweet baby boys, I will talk to you guys next week.
Okay, bye bye.
Coop.
Fine.
Bye.